Father, we just take a moment now before we go to your word, that again our hearts would be open, ready to receive what you have for us, allowing you, Lord Jesus, to do what's needed in our lives. We give you honor and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me to Psalm chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 8. And the sermon title is Jesus Enough. I want you to know that only you can answer that question. Only you can answer the question, is Jesus enough? I want to begin by telling you a true story of what happened to author John Aldridge and Anthony Sosinski as they were attempting to go on a fishing trip out into the ocean, and they had an experience that suddenly went terribly bad. Anybody ever have a thought of being lost at sea? I always have this deal that, you know, a way that I would not want to die is being ate by a shark or something like that. You know, if being lost at sea just kind of scares me, in the fact that you're floating as food into the ocean for something bigger. But they actually went out about 40 miles outside of Long Island. They were on a boat attempting to go fishing, attempting to have a great catch. John Aldridge was on the outside of the boat preparing it for the catch. Anthony was inside sleeping, figuring he was going to take a second shift. And as they were getting ready to do this, John Aldridge grabs this handle, and I guess it's something that needed to be turned. It was hard. He gave it a good hard turn, and to make a long story longer, the handle broke. John Aldridge went flying off the back of the boat. Anthony is sleeping, and John Aldridge thought this is the way that he was going to die, that he would be floating in the ocean. He would either drown, he would either be eaten, and no life vest on. And he thought that this was the way that he was going to die. And as he's treading water, he's thinking of all these things. He's thinking about, that his family didn't even know that he was off the boat missing, that his friend was sleeping and wouldn't realize that he was not there. And he sits there, and as he's pondering these things, he gets this idea, and he's saying, these shoes are floating. And he takes the shoe off and makes an air pocket and puts it down. It becomes to be a little bit buoyant. He puts it under his arm. And he does the same for the other, and he begins to float. And he thinks and has a glimmer of hope. And all this time is going by, and he says that he saw two sharks swimming around, and he just kind of says, hey, praise the Lord that they weren't hungry. They didn't seem to bother him, didn't seem to think about this. And hours seemed to go as he just watched, as he fell off the boat, watching this boat probably bounce a wave, go off and head off in the other direction. The boat was on automatic pilot. It's going to keep going. The guy is sleeping, and he's sitting there, and he's realizing that he is going to die. About 4 hours later, his friend wakes up, sees that he's not there, sees that this handle has been broken, realizes that this is how he must have went off the backside of the boat. He calls the Coast Guard. They begin to look for him, but the Coast Guard tells him, hey, with all the time that has gone by, there's really not much hope, but they were going to go. In the floating, John Aldridge finds a buoy, a fishing buoy to grab onto, and grabs another glimmer of hope that, you know, at first his goal was to keep floating. Then after he found the buoy, it was to make it until someone would come. And about an hour after he finds the buoy and begins to feel like there's a fighting chance, the Coast Guard sees him flapping and, you know, yelling at them as they go by. They end up saving him. And here's what I thought was kind of funny. The Coast Guard pulls him out of safety. He says, we've been looking for you for 9 hours today. And he says, that's great. He says, but I've been looking for you for 12. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? That how much do you pursue God? How much do you care what God wants to do in your life? Because he's pursuing you, and at times he's been pursuing you a lot longer than you've been pursuing him and wanting to get in sync with him and find out how important it is. And just like I said last week, in a moment's notice, suddenly we're in the fight of our life. Suddenly we're in the struggles in our life. We're making decisions of our life. And sometimes we run out of time because we don't make those decisions. And the psalm that I'm reading this morning is David crying out to God, asking God for help, asking God to give him some relief, asking him to give him some help. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been crying out to God, asking him for some help? That because you just have had enough. You've been through it to the point where you don't know what else to do, what else to say. You've sometimes have prayed so hard and didn't see the answers, and you know you should hang on, but you're struggling. So Psalms chapter 4, here's David talking with God. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayers. God's response back to him. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. David again, many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and their new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. My question again is Jesus enough? People today have been calling and saying that they're putting their faith in themselves rather than the Lord. Say amen to that. There's so many programs, so many get yourself on track kind of things that people today are being called to have faith in themselves rather than God. And sometimes I know that God wants to work in our lives, but I believe sometimes we handcuff ourselves. I think sometimes we miss out on what God really wants. Everybody seems to have this impression that God wants us to feel good all the time. God wants us to feel good about ourselves at all times. And sometimes I have to ask this question, do you really feel that God wants you to feel better about yourself at all times, or does he want to call sinners to recognize the hopelessness they have without Jesus? Of course, you got to ask yourself, do you think that God always wants you to be happy? Do you think that every part of his being is always to make you happy? Or does God want you to realize our hopelessness without Christ? And then turn around and pour out blessings in our lives. Isaiah tells us that unredeemed people are incapable of doing anything to please God. Paul tells us natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually blind. The psalmist tells us the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then you see King David here. His own son Absalom is after him, is pursuing him, is trying to take his kingdom, is trying to kill him, and all the seems like all the people are gathering together to help Absalom. And then you see David crying out to God, because it's in this circumstance, it just keeps bringing and coming closer. So my question, what can we expect from God when we're calling out to him, when we're asking God to intervene, when we have this heart of desperation, if we're coming to him with a seeking heart, what can we expect from him? According to this verse and many verses like it, we can expect God to give us relief. Amen? We can expect God to give us joy. according to this passage, and we can expect God to give us a good night's rest. Now, some of us, that would be an answer to prayer right there, that God would give us rest, that God would take away some of the distress that are in our lives and give us a good night's rest. And let me explain where I'm gathering this from the verse here. Answer me when I call you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayers. And it all begins with the acknowledgement that God has to be first. We say it all the time. You hear it almost every Sunday somewhere in a passage that we're reading that God is saying that he has to be first. Yet we live our lives without God being first. One thing that we can understand and realize that this world is not safe. Anybody say amen? We see it. It's tanking. It is going down the tubes very fast. But as a believer, this is not all there is. The world, there's things that the world cannot give you. No matter how much you are trying to pull out of the world, there are things that the world cannot give you. Eternal hope is one of them. The world cannot give you fulfillment in the place where the void that only God can go, that goes deep down into your heart, deep into your soul, that reaches into the gut of who you are. There are things that the world could never do and give you. Christians today have to realize that nothing is impossible with God. And that's why I was asking you when we went to prayer. If you really believe that nothing is impossible with God, why would you not be bringing some of these things to the Lord, asking God to intervene? Why would you not just be face down before God on a daily basis, asking him to intervene or show you what needs to be done? Yet sometimes we just let the world just keep rolling, and we keep missing out what God wants to do in our lives, and that we allow the circumstances to get bigger than we think God is. And this, even though God can do all things, he doesn't always do all things the way we think it should be. That doesn't mean that God will always intervene. That doesn't mean that God will always take the pain. It doesn't mean that God will always just come to our aid. But it does mean that every problem that we go through, God will either see us through it or take us through it. You know, he will be there. Every storm, he doesn't take away, but he's in every storm. Say amen. And allows us to go through it sometimes for our own strength, for our own encouragement, to be a help to somebody else. Relief in the eyes of David here was not for God to take it away, but to show him how to trust God more. Show him how to fit into the plan that God had for him. Give me relief from my stress, have mercy upon me, and hear my prayers. Calling on God, you hear me? Calling on God to hear your prayer is a beginning to have your prayers answered. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You know in yourself, there are times when somebody will keep coming for different things and you tell them in your mind that they've got to do this on their own. They've got to stand on their own two feet. They've got to do this or do that. And yet we approach God without asking him, and I think sometimes God has to just look at us and say, they need to do this on their own. Or they need to make this a priority. If they don't care, I'm not going to respond. I'm not ready to respond because they haven't learned the lesson that they're going through at the time. And calling on God and asking God to hear your prayer, I believe, is a beginning of God answering prayers. And is Jesus enough is a question that only you can answer. You could fake it and not, nobody would know, but you would know. And I do want to say, though, that if Jesus is not enough, you will create some of the struggles you go through. Because sometimes we create them. And hear me when I'm saying it. I'm not saying all people that are going through troubles are not trusting God. I'm not saying that. I'm saying sometimes we are our own worst enemies. Sometimes we put struggles in front of us. And I'm saying that sometimes if Jesus isn't enough, we're going to go through some heck of a times before God intervenes, until we learn some of the lessons that God wants us to learn. See, I want you to know something. Jesus plus your job, Jesus isn't enough. Jesus plus a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, then Jesus isn't enough. If your health and all the different things, if Jesus plus stuff, then Jesus not enough. And we will see relief when we say, Jesus, you are enough. It's not Jesus plus something else. Let me share an illustration that happened to me this week. I met a gal that I hadn't seen for years. She was a part of some of the ministries here at the church. She moved out of state many years ago, and it's been a long time since I saw her. And I met her I was coming through a drive-through at a fast food restaurant after visiting someone, and I'm going through. I see her. She walks by. I smile. She smiles and walks on by, and I'm thinking that she did not recognize me. And about the moment that I think, oh, she didn't recognize me, and she went back, she was like right here at the drive-thru. I couldn't believe it. It was like amazing. She went by. I turned my head, and I looked. She was right here. She said, "Are you Pastor Tony?" I said, "Yes." And I greeted her by name to show her that I remembered her. And I mean, there wasn't a how do you do, I haven't seen you for a long time, how's it going? It was instantly all the problems of the job she was at with managers running around, I'm sure. All the things that she needed from Bountiful Blessings, all the things that you know, what could we do? And as I begin to see this, and you know, I'm thinking of this passion, Lord, give me relief and give me a little bit of help from this stress. And I look behind me, and there's cars waiting behind me. And I said, I got to go. It's good seeing you. And as I was pulling away, I couldn't help but think that all these years had passed by, but her heart was the same. It wasn't about Jesus. It was about what could Jesus do for me, and what could the people of God do for me. There's a big difference. She had no need for Jesus. Nowhere in the conversation did it go, you know, I had a change of heart and Jesus is important to me. It was all about stuff. It was all about a circumstance. And then if you stop and you think about it, it was about selfishness in a way, because she was willing to have all the people behind me wait while she explained what was going on. You want relief, you're going to have to make Jesus enough. You want less stress, you're going to have to make Jesus enough. Now get this, and this fits me, and if Becky was here this morning, she's not feeling well. But if researchers have determined that we produce 50,000 thoughts a day. Now, if Becky was here, she'd say I'd be more like 1,000 because 100,000, because my mind just runs all the time. But researchers have determined that we produce 50,000 thoughts a day, and that 70 or 80% of them are negative. You get it? You want to change your circumstances, take those same 50,000 thoughts and turn 70 or 80% of them to a positive. Remember what God's done. Remember what God is doing. Remember what the goodness of God in your life. See, biblical meditation is good. Some call it yoga. I prefer to call it prayer. Asking God, intervening, checking out, God's word, checking out and allowing God to minister to us, to reflect back to what God has been doing in our lives and bringing some of those pressures and the pains and the things going on, the injustices. It's having communion with God. It's having a two-way conversation. Anybody want to say amen there? Or is it always going to be the one-way conversation? Oh, God, help. When we come and we begin to have the two-way conversations, God, these are the things I'm going through, but also in this, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to act in this circumstance? How do you want these things going on to be applied to my life? See, righteousness is God. Can you say amen? He's the perfect one. We're righteous when we have a right relationship with God. So we're running around and we're missing what God wants. Biblical meditation, going to prayer, because we're communing with God. We're allowing God to speak to us. We're allowing God to change things in our lives. When we see some relief to it, ask God for forgiveness, asking him and saying thank you for what he's doing. Verse says, how long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. King David was being used by God to go through these things so that others would learn and grow closer to God. How long do people have to deceive themselves into thinking they can do these things without God? Is God enough? When you stop and think about it at times, I don't know about you, but God hasn't been enough for me. Because I look back on circumstances and I could have avoided a whole lot of trouble. I could have got out of the situation a whole lot earlier and easier if I would have done what God had wanted me to do, or at least seeking what God was wanting me to do. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let your light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when the grain and new wine abounds. We watch others just seem to get blessed out of their socks. And sometimes we actually get mad at God. God, why aren't you doing these things for me? A lot of times it's because we're looking for prosperity rather than God. Stop seeking prosperity. We need to be seeking that joy. We need to be seeking God's presence. We need to be seeking that two-way conversation with God to have God intervene with us. Too many Christians are praying and spending more time worrying about what they do with that billion-dollar lottery than seeking God. And I'm just being truthful. That if they would take that amount of time and spend it in prayer, rather than praying that they would be one in, what, 320 million that would win this lottery? Peace like a river flows from God when we're doing what God calls us to do, when we allow God to fill us to overflowing. Robert Schuller says it this way, joy is not the absence of suffering, it is the presence of God. Our DS has a great saying, presence matters. Presence matters most. What people today need is God's presence. What today people need is to have a relationship with God, and we're missing out on this. Life is full of challenges, but God's word is full of promises. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We are trying to make churches worldly. Do you understand me today? You see all these programs. We need less programs. We need more time with God. We need more things to do that lift up the name of Jesus. Worldly churches are no good to God. Can you say amen? Worldly churches will not make a difference in the world today. Stop apologizing for God's character. Because what we're doing is we're apologizing when God don't answer prayer. We're apologizing when God doesn't seem to do what we think he should do. Stop apologizing and saying that if you want his joy, you need to be in a relationship with him. If you want his blessings, you need to be in a relationship with him. Stop asking and apologizing for God to do something that is against his character. We're trying to create churches that want to just make sure everybody's okay. You want the Spirit of God working in your life, you need God. You want to see God's blessings poured out upon you, then be doing what God's asking us to do. There's only one way to have joy unspeakable is to be filled with God's Spirit. There's only one way to have the peace of God. Do you understand that? There's only one way. The Word of God tells us the peace of God passes all understanding when you're in his presence. God interrupts, God intervenes, and God interferes, but he will never have to apologize for who he is. Somebody ought to say amen. Once you have God's presence in your life, Jesus is enough. You will not be looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but you will be on your knees asking God for more of him in your life. And the last part of this verse is connecting with God. Verse 8, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, God, make me dwell in safety. King David got it right when he says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Larry Crabb says this, ever since God expelled Adam and Eve from the garden, we have lived in an unnatural environment, a world in which we were not designed to live in. We were built to enjoy a garden without weeds, relationships without friction, fellowship without distance, but something went wrong and we know it, both within our world and within ourselves. Deep inside, we sense we're out of the nest, always ending the day in a motel room, never at home. Can you say amen to that? That is the society that we're living in. People know that there's a piece of the puzzle missing. People know that what they're doing is not right. People know that the only way they're going to get their life back in order is to come back to God. And they fight God all the way and then blame God for not having and doing what they want them to do. Seeking God takes effort. Can you say amen to that? You ever been on the end of that where you're trying to you're seeking God and it's a struggle. You just get circumstance after circumstance after circumstance that comes against you, and God says, hold on. David was a man after God's own heart because he sought after God. Amen. For no other reason. There's only one way we can truly lay our heads down at night and experience the peace of God. David's rest came in the presence of God surrounding him and letting him know that he was safe. You say amen to that? He's our rock. He's our fortress. That does not sound like a God that's going to take us out of every circumstance. It sounds to me like a God that will help you through every circumstance. As I close, you have to answer this question. Is God enough? My circumstances bring me to that question every day. How about you? Every day you have to answer, is God enough? It still has to be answered individually, but then your word should come back to you, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. As I get older, I don't want to learn everything the hard way. You say amen to that. The older I get, I realize I don't want to learn everything the hard way. I want to get it right the first time because I don't have enough energy to do it again. And I understand in this world today that I'm not home yet. And I thought of this when a friend betrays me. God, you have to be enough. When I need to forgive, when my mother went through cancer, when my friends went through cancer and those with terminal illnesses, when people don't do what they say they're going to do, God, you have to be enough. When my past tries to destroy me, anybody else beside me? When my past tries to destroy me, when I'm depressed and ready to give up, when the bills that I have I can't pay, God, that's when you have to be enough. That's when you have to be sufficient. I'm trying to set up an atmosphere of prayer. You say amen to that? I'm trying to set up a group where you would get involved in prayer for the service and watching and wanting God to do something special. We're trying to set up Sunday nights where a bunch of churches can come together, praying together, seeking God and wanting God to do something amazing. We're trying to set up an atmosphere that when they close the doors of the sanctuary, that you should instantly be going to prayer, asking God, what do you have for me today? What nugget of truth can I grab? What can I take from the sermon? What can I take from your scripture? What can I take from somebody standing up and maybe blessing God in a testimony? Whatever's a part of that service, God, what can you do in my life? And we'll see some of the things that we're praying about, or at least thinking about, happen. For some, you need to be praying about it. You need to be giving these things over to God, not just running through life with helter skelter, but diligently giving these things to God and waiting for God to give an answer. Amen? Wanting him to do and minister to us. For others, God has things for us to do, and we just get so busy. We miss out. And then all these things, when a friend betrays me, when I need to forgive, and all these other things, when we go through family issues, we allow that circumstance to get in front of what God's doing instead of seeking God. Father, I thank you this morning. It's my prayer that every one of us would diligently say, God, you are enough. If you did nothing else for us, you've paid the price of salvation. You dwell within us and give us the encouragement and the power to go through some of the things. And Lord God, we just need to take what you've already given us. Be filled with the joy of the Lord. Allow, Lord, your strength to lead us and guide us and see us through some things. Lord God, helping us to be all that you want us to be. Helping us, Lord God, to be sensitive to what you're doing through us and other people right around us. And for us to be sensitive enough to know that you want to use us to speak to the neighbor, to talk to our uncle and other loved ones and those that need to know Christ, taking time to just share what God's done in our lives, to be an encouragement, to invite someone to come to church with us. Allow us, Lord God, to be used so that when we're going through them circumstances, when we're going through those hard situations, as much as the situation tries to overtake us, we can say with confidence, God, you are enough, and you shall supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.